Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Let's say you stumbled across a time machine and you could get in that time machine and you could go back to your younger self and give them some dating advice. You can't do anything else. I don't know what the functionality of this time machine is that you can't do anything else, but you can't do anything else. What is some dating advice that you would give young Tom?
A little pep talk with your with your younger self. It would all be my very personal to me and to just my younger self. Just calm down, all right? Calm down. You don't have, not every girl on the planet has to like you and has to love you. You don't have to try and be cool for this person and introspective for this person. And so it's more be comfortable in your own shell. And those who want to, those who like you will like you, and you don't have to win everyone over. And then you, if you try and win everyone over, you end up alienating everyone else because you're not being real with that, you know, that kind of just like yourself, you fool. And then let everything else fall into place. You don't have to you don't have to be the first. You don't have to be the best. Just focus on yourself, I think, would be mine. What about you, Elizabeth?
He's cheating.
Right. just you pop yours. So.
Every time you're worried about him cheating, it's true. He's
so,
cheating.
Yeah, current you pops up to 16-year-old Elizabeth. Pop, he's cheating, just always.
Which one? All of them. Just,
and then you disappear and 16-year-old Liz is baffled forever. Was that even me? Was that, who was that scary woman?
Who was that
woman?
Crazy lady?
Why did she have to scream it? Why?
It was really important.
Why was she crying? Why am I terrified? So yeah, don't. He's cheating. That's just yours.
They're all cheating.
Oh, the poor younger you that gets visited.
I still wouldn't listen. I'd be like, but maybe I could change him.
She doesn't know anything, because when you're 60, when you're young, you don't listen to the world.
A cheater back like 5 times.
Yes, we know everything already when you're young, when you're that young, right? You can't be told anything.
No, absolutely
let alone
not.
By someone older, let alone by your older future self.
I'd be like, what does that bitch know? She's sad. No.
So a little...
I'm not sad, I'm awesome. Shut up.
some soul-seeking questions for everyone listening here to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. What would you, what dating advice would you give younger you? It could be quite be more confrontational and screaming like Elizabeth, or more pep talky like mine.
Mine would be very much like that. What is it? That scene in, is it Billy Madison where he's just shaking the face going, don't grow up, stay young as long as you can. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really sorry to our guest. We've got Jackie Azorio back. And she's just been laughing and trying to hold it in. And
it's been so hard because that really made me laugh.
I was going to ask Jacqueline what advice would she give her younger self, but once she's done giggling, we'll get this show up and away. It's a welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, everybody. We have a guest on. They talk about it. Any kind of relationship gone bad. Yeah, could have been marriage, could have been an overnight fling. They bring a story and we eke it out of them. We wrap it up at the end with what did we learn? Make it all kumbaya and nice, not just giggling. Although some giggling has happened over here. Jacqueline, you're welcome back to the show.
Do you have advice for your younger dating self?
Yes, try women quicker.
Oh, great. Well, hello. And I feel like that's appropriate advice, given what we're here to talk about today.
Very good.
Now, we'll go over the rules really quickly. Yes. I know you did this like 5 minutes ago. We're going to destroy the magic of recording because, yes, we did record her last episode 5 minutes ago, no matter how long it's been since you've heard Jackie's dulcet tones. But we say come up with an alias for the people that you're talking about. If you figure out who Jackie's talking about, don't be a dick about it and dox them. We're not about exposing people here. We're about learning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also, no threats on mic.
Yes, on mic. Off mic. On mic.
Yes, off mic only. Exactly.
No problem.
Let's just get into it then.
Yeah, well, we got a little
Hint, little prologue.
Yeah.
Try women earlier.
Yep.
That's the advice to youngest.
I tried them quite early. Wasn't for me.
Not for you.
No. Well, like I hooked up with a friend of mine when we were both about like 15 or 16, and it made her go, "Oh, I'm a lesbian," and it made me go, "Uh-uh, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm like 20%." Maybe yes, but just I'm not into vaginas. Mm. Boobs and mouths, fine. Vaginas, no.
No, that's absolutely fair. Because you know what goes on down there, don't
I
you?
I do.
And you know all the dark secrets.
No,
you know,
no
and they're
spoilers.
Not for everyone.
No,
so,
no.
So, you know, I get it. But, you know, to about 50% of the population, don't worry, I still find men very much beautiful.
There's so many men sighing in relief right now.
Oh, thank God for that. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, I'm what, my mid-30s, and this is like a year ago and a bit, and I just kind of had the real sit down with myself and went through the things that I really want from a partner, and on top of the list was not what genitals they have, and I just, it made me really think about it. So anyway, yeah, went and tried it. So I went on the apps to find a woman. It's very exciting. A little bit anxious about it as well, coming to it so late. But I met someone, we will call her Trish, and we met and it was fantastic. So easy. We were chatting. We had a drink. She seemed really into me and that felt really good.
Heck yeah, it did.
So, and I was coming to it very, very openly. Hey, this is my first time. I'm very inexperienced. I don't even know if this is what I will want in the future, but I know that I'm curious. Like, I was very on the table about it. And Trish was also quite new to it as well. She was in a marriage and she had kids and she came to it and realized, actually, I'm gay. And she left and was now kind of out in the world exploring this and meeting people. And so we both had that same eagerness, I guess, to try stuff. Excuse me. And so I was like, look, I want casual only. This is all I'm interested in right now is just seeing how it goes. I don't want any labels on it. I don't want any pressure. And then let's see what happens and have fun.
Good.
No problem, right? So Trish is like, all on board. Easy. We went on a date in the park and we had a picnic.
Cute.
And it was cute adorable. As hell. And like I sat there with my legs out and then she came and like sat with her legs over my legs and we just kind of like gazed at each other. We even got harassed by a man. It was so, it was beautiful.
You know you've made it as a queer person.
First time that's happened to me, obviously. And I was like, what is this? Trish was a lot more subdued, but I was like, fuck off. And he was just like, oh, I'm not that bad. I was like, bye.
Good for you.
So, yeah, I was like, it was horrible. Anyway, but the date went really well. Now, on this date, we talked about, do you want to do this? Yes, I do. Like, I'm attracted to you. We made out. It was really beautiful. So let's organize when we can do this. Now, she lived across the other side of London. And, you know, I, being me, I'm a bit like, oh, can I be bothered to travel that far as well?
It's and like when you live in Sydney, or I used to live in Sydney, you just don't cross the bridge for anyone. They have to be real special if you're going to cross the bridge.
And I was a bit like, oh, you know, I have sleep issues. I don't want to be out super late and then having to get myself home. And she said, oh, well, you know, you could stay the night. And I was like, oh, okay, just to be upfront with you, I don't do sleepovers. And this is a thing that has not always been the case, but as I've gotten older, I've developed sleeping issues, some insomnia, you know, burning the candle at both ends. So hard to get to sleep, hard to stay asleep, that sort of thing. And so, you know, adding a person into my bed, just, it means I lose the night.
Correct.
It's not worth it for me. So I was very upfront about this and no problem, absolutely no problem. So we, you know, you start organizing. It's going to be a Saturday. I'm going to come to her. And she's like, you know, oh, you're vegan. What do you want? I'll buy you some food and we'll cook you dinner. It'll be like super romantic. And then, you know, we can see how the night goes. I'm really excited about it. We keep having this conversation on text. And then she texts me And what time can you stay till on Sunday morning? And you know that feeling you get when everything's going really well and then suddenly just one little thing and then your stomach kind of just goes,
The weight in your stomach.
Yeah. Because I told you that I would not be staying the night. And I sort of had to, and I was in this position where I had to re-explain that. And instead of, oh yeah, no, sorry, of course you told me, I forgot, don't worry about it, all good, I got, sad face. Oh, okay. Well, I bought some, you know, vegan breakfast food, but I guess it'll keep. Okay. And I'm a bit like, all right.
My button finger's getting itchy. It's not like quite there yet. Yeah,
me too. Okay.
This is the first little hump, right? This is the first little hump. But things are going okay. We still have this plan, so it's still going to happen. I'm just not going to stay the night. We're all on the same page again, I'm hoping. And we're getting closer to the time. The day before, she sends me a text and says, just to be upfront with you, I've just got my period. And I'm not someone who wants to have period sex at, you know, some with myself. Do. I'm some just not don't. Into it. Not for me.
No.
But I said to her, hey, that's okay. Like, you know, that's not for me. I probably for my first experience with a woman don't really want to do it while you're on your period. Yep. Nothing against you. I mean, if I was on my period, I wouldn't want to do it either. And then she, you know, came back with, well, there's stuff we could do. Like we could, like, you know, you could, I could do a strap on or like we could do this or we could. And I kept having to say, no, I am not I'm not comfortable with the period in this situation for my first time. And I had to say that 3 or 4 times because it was, oh, well, you know, maybe, you know, we could just do this or we could just do that. Sorry, now I'm cranky. And there was a kind of a suggestion that, oh, we could just have a date and cuddle and that do all that stuff. But at this point, I don't want to because I've had to reinforce. Anyway, so the result of this was me sending a text that essentially after, you know, talking to friends, what do I say to this woman?
You set the boundary like how many times so in the many one conversation? Times
she's not hearing me. And so I had to say something like, listen, I don't want to have any inhibitions when we are finally in bed together. So we will reschedule and I'm looking forward to that, but I won't be coming over tomorrow. I had to just really just text that to her. And that's when she was like, okay, no problem. Right. So that was fine. A couple of days go by with no conversation, but then I ask her out on a date and we go to like a cabaret night and it's really nice and it's romantic and we're walking around and we're holding hands and stuff. And then she says to me, it was really sexy when you said no to me.
Okay. So we're just going to knock that
and
dumb button.
I'm sorry. I'm not.
There's no apologizing.
No. No, right? No.
Like, right? Like, if it was a playful, like, no, oh, that's hot. Like, that's one thing. But when you're like, no, 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 setting boundaries
and
that are getting
forcing
ignored.
Me into a position where I don't just say no, I say no. And like
so
have,
sexy.
Wow, it's so sexy when you show dominance that way. It's not dominance, it's discomfort. You've pushed me to enforce a boundary that I've already laid down. I'm in a defensive position now and I don't like how that feels. Great, it's sexy for you, but what about me? So that was another like moment which made me kind of like twitch unhappily. But I saw it through and we ended up sleeping together. And let me tell you, it was fantastic. It was great. I told a story last time I was on the podcast about being folded in half like a sex frittata. Yes. That happened about, you know, a fortnight or so before this. And the difference in being with a man
after 2 weeks of stretching
a woman was astounding.
There you go.
Astronomical. It was just like, oh, I get it. I know this. I know how this works. It just felt so easy. So that was great.
Thumbs up.
We had a great time. And so of course with that in mind, everything's kind of positive again, right? And then I was performing and it was a cabaret. I would be singing and it was upcoming. And Trish said to me, you haven't invited me to this. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Of course, you're welcome to come. Absolutely. Bring a friend. We want audience members. Absolutely come. but also let's talk about it because it won't be a date, right? And she was like, absolutely, no, that's fine. And she, in fact, was very much like, how will it work? Will you be able to, will I be able to see you at all? So she was very open about communicating how this night would go.
But you're at work. Like, this
I'm
is,
at work, this right? Is work. This is a job and a very fun job and, you know, very, very fun. But I was, you know, it was great because we were communicating about that aspect of it. And I was like, maybe she is starting to listen, you know? So I was like, I will come out after the show. And I will absolutely come and say hi to you. We can chat for a little bit. I will need to do the rounds. And then I've got my plans with my people. And that's what I'll be doing. So I'll see you. We'll, you know, hug or kiss or whatever. And then we'll set, we've got another date set up for the future. No problem, no problem. So the big night comes. She's in the audience. It's a great show. We have such a good time. I come out afterwards. She's there with a friend. She's been drinking. It's the vibes are immaculate. It's really, really good. I go over and she's starstruck a little bit, which makes me feel amazing.
Oh yeah.
So she's like, "Oh, you are so good," and I'm like, "Stop it." And, and you know, so it was really, really sweet and hazy and rosy. And she's like, "Can I? You know, is it okay if we kiss?" And I'm like, "Of course it's okay if we kiss. Of course we have a smooch." And then I'm like, "All right, well now's the time that I have to go and say hi to other people. Hi to your friend as well. You know. Have a great night. I will talk to you soon." That's where I think it's going to end for the night. So I do my mingling, I do my bits, and then finally I'm sitting down with my group of people. So the people who are in the show, the partners of the people in the show, close friends who have come to see the show, like that's the posse, right? And like, I'm not sure how much time passes, 20 minutes or something like that. And I feel this tap on my shoulder and I turn to the side and it's Trish, and she takes my face and kisses me quite passionately in front of all of my friends. And at this point, I will just say, I have the most supportive friends in the world. If I came out, they would be absolutely supportive, no problems whatsoever. I have no shame about it, no problems. But I hadn't told them yet.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't said, by the way, I'm trying this. I don't feel like I needed to. I wasn't hiding it.
I was looking at Zane was pointing at the button and I'm like, yeah, I just wanted to wait for a gap and there wasn't, but that's she's outed you.
And I wouldn't even, I'm trying to be.
She doesn't know how supportive your friends are.
She doesn't know, that's the thing. And I feel a bit like, okay, well I did say it was okay that we kissed. So I did say that to her earlier in the night. But she also knew, because we'd had these really deep conversations, she also knew that my friends didn't widely know, and my close friends did fine, but like it's not public knowledge at this point. So she knows that this is my first experience. So she knew, even though I did say we can kiss. But anyway, so she's come over and she's kissed me in the mouth, and she's kind of seductively whispered, "You need to come back over there and kiss me some more and talk to me some more." And I went, okay. And she's, you know, drifted off seductively. And I, you know, looked at all my friends and I was like, "I'm so sorry. Excuse me, I'll be right back." And, you know, go across to where she's sitting. And I was like, "Hi, so you just outed me, you know. If I go away again, will you come and kiss me again?" And she was like, "Do you want me to?" And I was like, "No."
She's like, "Well, that's sexy."
Yeah, that's the vibe. Like, it was a sexy move. And I kind of understand that, because in movies you see these big kind of
movies
dramatic,
are bullshit,
but they are bullshit.
Yeah,
and,
so yeah.
But you do see this kind of happen in stories and tropes and things like that, where it's like the big gesture happens and it's all romantic
but
and sexy.
That very much normally, you know, cis hetero.
Yeah,
you know, like,
but she has just come from this big marriage to a straight man.
Yeah.
So maybe that's. I mean, maybe that plays into it. I don't know. But we talked for a bit. And then I started feeling like a bit of a dick, right? Because she started saying, "I'm just not sure that you're into me. And I just don't know if, like, this is mutual because I'm so into you and I'm just not getting." And I had to say, "Of course I'm into you. I just kissed you. I've asked you on several dates. I've made further dates with you. I've slept with you, said it was amazing and want to do it again. What more do you want from me?
And you're articulating exactly what you want, exactly what you expect, exactly what you require.
How are you confused about how I feel about
Jackie,
you?
Jackie, you're the straight dude in this situation.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You're the straight dude who's like, I just want something casual. And she's like, that's totally fine. Will you marry me?
Oh, no. Is this what it feels like? Oh, God.
So I felt I was reassuring her, you know. I was saying, of course I'm into you. I mean, yeah, I want to see you again. Like, So I was starting to feel a bit like a dick because she's obviously feeling, you know, insecure. So I said, you know what, at this point, why don't you two just come and join our circle of friends over there. Mm-mm. Join us, it's fine.
Absolutely not.
Mm. I mean, yeah, I know. I'm trying to, because she's just given me these big eyes
like,
and she's given me
just
a little,
looks like you've wrapped her on the nose.
Yeah, and so I was just like, it's fine, come on. So I then go backstage to get my phone because I've left it backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick it up and I check it and how many messages have I gotten?
Ooh, potluck, everybody.
How many messages has this woman sent to me?
24.
Something like that. But too many is the
too
answer.
Many, yes.
And missed phone calls?
No missed phone calls.
Just messages.
Just messages. And they were all saying, come back and kiss me. You look so good. Come back and kiss me. I need to talk to you again. I want to get, you know, all of this kind of getting my attention, trying to bring me back from what I was doing. Again, kind of, you
it
know,
makes
we'd
my
already
skin
talked
feel
about
itchy. Like, yeah, I just want to.
It's very full on. I feel
right?
overburdened.
It's intense.
I'm not even. It's not even.
But
happening.
Like, we'd already established what the boundaries of the night were, and here she is breaking them, like straight away. Like,
just because the boundary doesn't make her feel good, doesn't mean that she.
Or she's changed her mind about it. No, she doesn't want this night to be the way that we've discussed. She wants it to be, you know, she's obviously starstruck, and she just wants more of Jackie. And who can blame her?
She's your groupie now.
She's my groupie. But the thing that made my kind of stomach sink at this point was that after all of these messages, she had not received a reply from me, and so she decided to come and do it anyway.
Yes.
So
that's ridiculously manipulative.
Yeah. So then, you know, we had our group together and we were chatting and having a nice time. It was fine. The feedback I got from people she talked to was that she's just very intense and she's, a big personality, and that's not a problem, right? But I couldn't stop thinking about all these little things that have now built up about, you know, into this picture of this woman that I have. And I also should say that every day I'm very happy to text. I'm not a huge texter. Especially if we've made the plan, I don't need to necessarily, especially if it's casual, by the way, don't need to be filling in the time in between with like, what Harry Potter house are you in? I don't care, Trish. I don't care. And so she wanted to talk about like, what would your spirit animal be?
It's like, talk about this on the date. Get miss each other and
wanted to have these big text conversations.
And if you didn't reply, she'd go into panic, triple
if
texting.
If she didn't, yes. And that's, I think, what she was talking about when she was like, I just don't know if you're into me, is because I just wasn't big on the texting and the replies. And I would give kind of like, I'm in the, and not answer any follow-up questions and stuff.
Yeah.
So I get where she was feeling the lack of interest, but I just wanted something casual.
Yeah.
I don't need to know your Hogwarts house. Like, so we had made plans to meet up later in the week, and it just started to get to the point where I was not feeling excited about it. I was just starting to feel, and I felt heavy, you know, felt so much of this pressure from this person who's supposed to be fun and we're supposed to be having fun. And I'm feeling guilty about so many little things, about having to defend my own boundaries, about apparently making her feel confused and like she doesn't feel wanted, and not participating in these inane text conversations, right? So I'm just like, I don't like this feeling. I liked the sex, but I don't like this.
Mm-mm.
Being ignored, having your opinions and needs and wants just trampled over ignored again and again.
But even making her uncertain about what her wants and needs were, like even from back at the start where she was like, oh, like you didn't explain to her already that you don't sleep over. Like that was manipulative right from the start.
It was also the little moments of, you know, oh, well, I bought this food, but I guess it'll
I did a thing and you've hurt me. Yeah. You're like, hang on a minute. You did that on your own accord. I set the boundary already. You just didn't listen to me.
The thing is, can I confess? I've done that before to a partner. Yeah. I have absolutely done. This is why it didn't work, because I recognized all these moves. I'm like, oh, I've done that. Yeah. I've done that. Yep. Oh, yeah, I've done that. Yeah. I have done. Oh,
honey,
all
I have too.
The emotionally. Yes, I have. And I'm not proud of it.
No.
But I did them when I was like in my early 20s, first relationship,
as you
right?
Do.
I'm not like that anymore.
No.
But yeah, so I'm, you know, I'm mid 30s. I don't have time for the games. I'm also I'm secure in myself enough that when someone does try to do that to me, I don't instantly go into guilt and feeling like I have to now make it up to that person. I can just say, well, actually, I did say no to a sleepover. No, I did say that. Here are the receipts.
Mm.
And if you have a problem with that, that might be a you problem.
Yeah.
So I'm at that stage in my life now where I can do that. Back then, I would have fallen apart. I would have been so guilty. It would have been... Anyway, so we get to the morning of the, I would say, final date that we had arranged. And I wasn't feeling it at all. And so I texted to, I thought about this. I was like, do I call? Do I text? Like, it's meant to be casual. We've only seen each other like 4 or 5 times. I should be able to text, right? But I don't know. I still feel kind of weird about that. Yeah. I was maybe like, I
if
was
it's
anxious.
Casual, I reckon you're allowed to text.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the rules are. I don't
Zane's
know.
Tilting his head, well, and making me second guess himself.
Once sex has occurred, is that maybe cross, it's a, has, does that cross yeah. you a line? Or
good question.
Is it just because it's casual, it can stay casual, the text is fine?
I feel like, to defend myself, I would be like, I've asked for casual, I've specified casual, I should be able to casually text. I understand.
But the thing is, when you're with somebody who's emotionally manipulative, it is also better to text because you're not going to get talked around and feel like an asshole.
Because guess what happened after I texted? I said, I think I should tell you this now rather than wait till tonight when we're out. You know, I don't want to ruin your night. And at this point, you can still find someone else to go with you. But yeah, I'm not feeling it. You know, I've had a really fun time with you, but I don't think this is something that I'm going to keep doing with you. And I was on my way to work. I came up off the underground and I had like 2 missed calls.
Oh, good.
And so she's immediately tried to call me, which I think is what I wanted to avoid in the first place, because I knew it would happen. And then I get, of course, a long essay length text, which of course starts with, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you because you've been really confusing. You haven't been clear with what you've wanted from me. Like, I just don't know where you are or like what you want anymore. So like, full gaslighting.
You
right?
were
full,
quite clear.
Yes. And to the point where I was reading this text just absolutely stunned, because I'm like, I did the opposite of what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is actually crazy. So then my response was like, actually, no, I was incredibly clear with you all through like history. I said this, I said, and I provided the receipts and all that. And then her thing was, no, you're right. I suppose you're right. Yes. Well, you know, I had a really nice time with you, and I hope, and it so ended kind of on that note. But wow, I was,
wow,
it was a lot. It was very intense, and I'm a bit annoyed that it was my first experience.
Look, you got good sex out
I
of
did.
It,
yes.
And
yes.
you realize that, you know,
that's an option on the menu now.
Yeah. Yeah. You just without the side order of gaslighting.
It was intense. It was an intense couple of weeks.
Yes, any readers at home who are in a secondary, third stage of life, fourth stage of life, who realize or are interested in dating maybe members of the same sex like Jacqueline did, don't worry, because this dating bullshit that we've heard years and years and years of just still applies.
It's still there.
So yes,
the sex
you can
might be different, but all the bullshit's still there.
So yes, you can live a life that makes you more happy and, you know, in your own sin, but there's a good chance you'll still get fucked around by someone
and wind up on our podcast.
Oh my god.
So it's a sort of
win-win.
Sort of
it was like being on the other
lining.
Side. Like just a few of those
you were
moments
the straight
where I was
dude.
Like, ugh,
yeah,
that makes me feel ill.
Yeah, you were a guy I dated when I was in my early 20s.
No, I would have treated you better, Liz.
He
I wouldn't have cheated on you, baby.
Oh, so Jack, what did we learn? What did we learn from this particular experience?
I want to jump in at the top and commend you on knowing what you wanted with dating, asking, you know, putting it down, asking for it, telling what the, and before you even met this person that we were talking about, Trish, whatever
Trish,
her name,
Trish.
You said, I sat down and I asked myself what I want and what I need. You did that. Yeah. Figuring that out before we enter the dating world is super important, mm-hmm. I reckon. So well done.
Thank
gold
you.
Star. Gold star to Jacqueline there. Oh,
yeah, I'll take that straight to the bank.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've gone through a couple of lessons learned, but what are your personal lessons learned from this particular experience?
Like kind of what you said, like the bullshit doesn't stop if you've got different waterworks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've just learned to be very secure in what I want.
Yeah.
And to, I guess, it did make me figure out some tactful ways of broaching these topics on text, especially. But also, you know, just being able to talk about it without feeling, what am I saying? What are the words that I need? So it kind of helped me, I guess, build on my communication skills in a way. And just to really just... not let the gaslight win, you know, even if it's coming at you, being able to sort of see it and shut it down really quickly. But also it didn't stop me from liking this person for a few dates anyway. And I guess that's coming at it empathetically and sort of seeing why it's happening in the first place. And like, maybe it's one of those habits that she hasn't grown out of yet. Because again,
especially
not
if
a bad
just come
person
out of a marriage.
Well, yeah.
I feel like someone's dating age is like whatever the age, like subtract the last length of
the experience,
like,
isn't there.
Yeah.
And the only experience she's had has been with the one person, and that's how their relationship kind of functioned or didn't function in this case. So just having a bit of empathy about it, I suppose, and trying to work through certain things and not just instantly letting that scare me away from my first experience, because I think there were a few moments when, like, throughout that whole thing, especially the moment about having being on the period, that could have really spooked me and I could have just gone, you're being too intense, it's not for me, run, and that would be my excuse to not try something. And I didn't let that happen, and I think that's something I took away from it.
Brilliant.
Good.
Yeah. My lesson: keep receipts.
Yeah.
Always keep receipts.
Keep damn receipts.
Even if the receipts are just to keep you sane, so that you can look back on that communication and go, hang on a minute. All right, I'm going to look. If someone's accusing me of something, I'm going to have a look and see the evidence. I'm going to do a little bit of a reality check. And if you've got the receipts, then you can do a little bit of a reality check. If you're really unsure and if you've gotten to the point where someone gaslighting you has really made you feel, show the receipts to a friend and go, do I seem like the crazy person, or are they stepping all over my boundaries? Get a second opinion. But those receipts are important for your own sanity.
Couldn't agree more.
Indeed. Get it in writing.
Well, I think we had a record number of dump them presses as well on this episode.
Really?
Did we hit three? Three was quite the amount.
It's just boundaries are something that I'm really passionate about. Anybody
rightfully
who knows
so,
and has listened to this podcast knows that boundary setting is important. And when someone just tramples all over your boundaries, that just makes me want to blow up their side of the boundary.
And
like,
not just boundaries in a relationship. In a romantic relationship, relationships with your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, at work, different with friends. Don't let people take advantage of or trample over your boundaries.
Or try
to
tell you didn't set one when you know that in an email
and
on the 4th of August, 2001, you sent that.
But then act all hurt about it and be like, oh, and then employ these kind of wounded, you know, victim kind of,
No.
I don't have time for it.
No.
Nope. Too busy.
She's busy.
Too busy. So,
Jackie, thank you for coming back again. I think that was a really important lesson in gaslighting and bullshittery. And I think that it's important that, you know, if you've been thinking about trying, you know, ladies or men, depending on where you currently sit on the dating spectrum, if you think about, like, maybe soul search and give it a go.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not encouraging everyone to do it, but if it's something you might like to try, like,
be open-minded.
Be open-minded
and
about
as we
it.
It can be a scary thing, trying something else, becoming someone else. But as Jacqueline has showed us, you can cross that line, cross that bridge, and someone will still treat you like trash. So you're going to get treated like trash in any dating arena. Doesn't matter.
An equal opportunity trash person.
And at the end, I still have no regrets. So
yeah,
that's good. That's great. That's
good.
Okay.
So I hope lessons learned for everybody listening along at home today. We thank Jacqueline for coming in and being so prompt and professional and articulate. It's been letting us have a little giggle and a rummage around someone else's personal life. It's fun for Liz and I. It's the only reason we're still here doing it.
I love it. Well, very well for it.
Poke around someone else's emotional baggage. If you have a story for the show, short or long, we can have you in the studio like Jacqueline today, or we can feature you on a quickie. Just if you send your story or a question or feedback or advice to ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. We'll have you on the show in one form or another.
Even if you're overseas, we did Zoom people in before. We can do it again. Figure out that we'll make our producer figure out that time difference.
Right. You mean have to fly all the way over here?
No, sorry, we forgot to tell you. London's actually a really annoying time difference. I was trying to talk to Lauren, it's like early in the morning or late at night. We'll make it work. If your story is good, we will sort that shit out for you.
Otherwise,
we will not pay for your flights here.
Please rate and review the show. That's all Elizabeth and I ever want. We just want to share the show with someone else. Someone will get good things out of it.
If you don't know how to rate and review, screenshot it and send it to a person via text, print it out on your office printer, hang it up in the break room, little tear-offs of how to find the podcasts on your phone.
Come on, get creative. I'm sick of telling you how to do it. You figure it out yourselves. So that's rate and reviewing the show. giggling
Jackie,
has started
calm down.
Until then,
I've been Liz Best.
And I'm Tom Harris. Good luck,
everyone. Just don't gaslight people, okay? No more gaslighting.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.